Okay, we're on page 686. Last week, we spoke at great length all about Yom Kippur, what it's all about, Yechid HaShebenefesh, and Lifnei Hashem, and Tshuva, and all that. Okay, so we're going to start. This is that Pasuk Lamed on page 686, Pasuk 30. Okay, we're learning that a person has to afflict themselves in Yom Kippur. And then in Pasuk Lamed it says, V'chol ha-nefesh, any soul, asher ta'aseh kol melacha, that will do any work, even work connected to eating. Because we learned last time that Yom Kippur is like Shabbos, that you can't cook and you can't do everything, even though it applies to food. So anybody who does work, be'etzem ayem hazeh, on the day of Yom Kippur, v'nichlusa ha-nefesh shoahim mi'ameho, I will destroy that nefesh from its midst. And Ramban learns, why does it say here, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, meaning like in the middle of the day, in the essence of the day, to teach us that even if there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no sacrifices, but these laws still apply. In other words, the Torah over here is saying basically a package deal about Yom Kippur. You have to bring certain kabbonis, you need to do certain things, you know, everything. So, what the Torah is saying is that food and work has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, you're still not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, and you're not allowed to do work. That's why it says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, in this day, whether there is a Beis HaMikdash, no Beis HaMikdash, it totally is irrelevant. And I will destroy that nefesh from the nation. And then the Torah says, and we'll learn the next part to discuss, Kom Melacha Leisasu, you're not allowed to do any work, okay? So simply, the Torah just got through saying that. The Torah just got through saying that any person does work. So some opinions say it's to teach us that you get double sin, okay? Or, as other Mefarshim learned, the Torah is teaching us that night and day of Yom Kippur have the same din. You can't do work the night or eat the night and the day. And then, Vavadati es nefesh mikeravama, I will cut one off. And we learned the difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur is, whatever is forbidden on Shabbos is forbidden on Yom Kippur. The only difference is, desecrating Shabbos publicly with warning, you get stoned. On Yom Kippur, you get what's called karis. And like we said, the difference is that you're able to do tshuva. There's one more interesting thing. We've mentioned this a long time ago, but I don't know why I didn't mention it last week. And that is, we find a very interesting din on Yom Kippur. Okay? Yom Kippur, well, even Shabbos, right? Shabbos, they did the regular things on the Beis HaMikdash, plus, okay, the daily carbon that they brought, we have Shachar Semincha, that they brought on Shabbos too. In addition to that, they also had what's called carbon musaf, no additional carbon, that's why we daven musaf. Yom Kippur was the same din. They had the daily things brought on Yom Kippur. Then there was the additional Avodah for Yom Kippur, you know, extra karbanis, Kohen Gadol going into the Holy of Holies, you know, the whole busy day, so to speak, of the Kohen Gadol. The din was, somebody might think, and logic would dictate, that the regular daily things that they did every day on Yom Kippur could be done through a regular Kohen. The extra special things, that needed to be done through a Kohen Gadol. That's what one would think. But the Gemara says the halacha was not like that. When it came the day of Yom Kippur, even the daily procedures that were done every day in the Beis HaMikdash, on Yom Kippur had to be done through the Kohen Gadol. Which, the Rebbe mentioned this many times, but the Mefarshim point out that it wasn't that Yom Kippur was a regular day plus. Even the regular things on Yom Kippur were different on Yom Kippur than they were the rest of the year. Even though it was the same Karban, the same Avodah, the same everything. The day of Yom Kippur permeated not only the extra things, but even the everyday things were affected by Yom Kippur. It became different, and therefore only the Kohen Gadol was able to do it. That's the uniqueness of Yom Kippur.
So then we burn all the
korbanos,
right?
The Kohen Gadol brought all the korbanos, yeah.
And burn them all, right?
Yeah. Whatever was done in a regular way. Then it says like this, Shabbos Shabbos in Hulochem. It's a day of Shabbos for you. You need to afflict yourself. Which is interesting. The Torah says rest and afflict. Sometimes affliction could be resting. That's what the Torah is saying. It's a day of rest. And the truth is, as we mentioned, but as the Mefarshim point out, that by a Jew fasting on Yom Kippur and torturing themselves, it's considered as if they brought themselves as a sacrifice to Hashem. They didn't pamper themselves, you know, go to the spa and enjoy it, you know, as a day of rest. By afflicting themselves, that was what really caused the tshuva to happen. In other words, why did Hashem give the people the ability with tshuva on Yom Kippur? Because the fasting actually was like the person sacrificed himself to Hashem by no less fats and less blood, by not eating. That itself is considered as if the Jew sacrificed himself. And therefore, that is, if you look at it that way, that, you know, it's like a Jew could sin a whole year, and one day a year suffer a little bit, you get forgiven for the other 364 days of the year. I mean, it's a good business investment. You sin a whole year, come Yom Kippur, you get forgiven. So he says that's part of the avoid of Yom Kippur. But now the Torah seems to say a strange thing. B'tisha l'chedesh b'erev, on the ninth day of the month in the evening, may erev ad erev, from evening, from night to night, tishbisu shabbatim, you should rest in your day. Meaning, what does the Torah say? Yom Kippur is from the ninth at night to the tenth at night. That's what the Torah seems to be implying. Okay? And that's why Rashi doesn't even comment, because that's simply what the Torah is saying. And the ninth in the evening, which is the tenth, right? So then you have Yom Kippur for 24 hours. But the Gemara asks here an interesting question. The Gemara says, we fast on the ninth? We don't fast on the ninth. Why is the Torah using the term on the ninth in the evening? We don't fast on the ninth. Why is the Torah saying the word B'tisha l'chedesh ba'erev? So the Gemara says like this. Whoever eats on the ninth of Tishrei, Erev Yom Kippur, Hashem will consider it as if you fasted on that day also. It means like this. The Torah says the tenth day you need to fast. The Torah also says you need to fast, to eat on the ninth. Literally the Torah says you have to fast on the ninth. The Gemara says in Hashem's great love for us, Hashem says like this, on the ninth, eat as much as you can. In fact, we know Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah to eat. There's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. But it's self understood, if Hashem gives you a mitzvah to eat, and Hashem gives you a mitzvah to fast, which mitzvah do you get more reward for? For fasting, because it's harder. Right? It's easier to eat than to fast. So if Hashem gives us a mitzvah to eat, and Hashem gives us a mitzvah to fast, you get more reward for fasting than for eating, because it's harder. Here the Gemara says, the Torah is teaching us, when you eat on the ninth, I'll consider it as if you fasted on the ninth also. So Hashem will give you the reward as if you fasted, even though the mitzvah is that you really should go eat. That's one thing the Gemara learns from this pasuk. Another interesting thing the Gemara learns from this pasuk, according to certain people in the certain opinions in the Gemara, the Rishonim bring this down, and that is the concept of what's called Tosfos Shabbos and Tosfos Yom Kippur. We know that there's a mitzvah in the Torah, you have to keep Shabbos. There's an argument if it's biblical or rabbinic, according to many opinions it's biblical, that you need to add on to Shabbos when it starts and ends. This is a biblical, according to many opinions, a biblical. There's a mitzvah to add on to Shabbos, not to start Shabbos the second you're forced to start Shabbos. You have a mitzvah to add on to it. No, not even a designated amount of time. Whatever you want, you add when Shabbos begins and Shabbos ends. One of the sources for this, to make it biblical, is in this pasuk of the ninth. Why is the Torah saying on the ninth if we fast on the tenth? Or the Yom Tov is on the 10th, why is the Torah saying the 9th? Because the Torah is teaching us, we need to begin the Yom Tov on the 9th. To add unto Shabbos and Yom Tov, even on the 9th. So therefore, the Torah using the expression the ninth to teach us that you're supposed to add to the tenth, even on the ninth.
To begin fast a little earlier?
Yeah, but we end up fasting anyway earlier.
And the end, but the beginning?
Beginning also. 1 second. Now there's another issue. You know, we have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, 2 days Sukkot, 2 days Pesach, 2 days... Why don't we have 2 days in Kippur?
Why not three?
No, because every Yom Tov is two. We don't know which day is the real day.
So we
do. Huh?
In a way we do.
By the night. Oh,
by eating.
Eating on the night, Hashem could say, okay. But besides that, it says in Halacha, why don't we fast 2 days?
Too hard.
Too hard. You know what? If we would have to do it, we would be used to it, I guess. I mean, physically, if the person could fast 48 hours. Right? People are fasting buried in the rubble in Haiti. They just pulled a guy out today 21 days after the earthquake. Okay, whatever he drank, I don't know. But he was dehydrated and thin. And it's a good way to lose weight, by the way. Anyway, so the Gemara says like this, why not? Even though it says in the Gemara, I think Rabbi Yochanan used to fast 2 days. Somebody fasts. It says, number one, because we really know. We really know which is the proper day. And fasting would be too difficult. You know, as a rule, would be too difficult. And secondly, what you said, it says that the fact that we eat on the ninth, Hashem considers it as if we fasted on the ninth. So we're talking fasting 2 days, the ninth and the tenth of Yom Kippur. Yeah.
Yeah, if it's a mitzvah to eat on the ninth, how can you say a bracha on the eating, like a special bracha?
Shabbos is also a mitzvah to eat. You don't make a bracha. You do make a bracha. You say bracha to, you know, hametz lechem in oritz. But it's not a mitzvah like matzah that you have to eat a certain time. Because here there's no set amount that you need to eat.
Don't you have to eat a certain amount of bread?
Not for the mitzvah of eating on Shabbos so much. Not necessarily, no. Yeah.
Just a general question on the eve of the night of Yom Kippur. Why do we wear a talit gadol?
Okay, why wear a talit? Because that whole day we're like holy angels.
Okay.
So you have to make a bracha taka before the night begins.
Before
Yom Kippur begins, you can't make a bracha at night on the talis. So you have to put it on when it's still early. Okay, that's basically, okay, last week we went into great length about Yom Kippur, but that's basically Yom Kippur. Now the Torah says like this, Davar Shama Meshe Leimer, Hashem spoke to Meshe saying, Davar B'nei Yisrael Leimer, speak to the Jews and tell them like this, B'chamish Asi Yom L'chedish HaShvi Hazeh, on the 15th day of this month, Chag HaSukkos is the Yom Tov of Sukkos. Shivas Yomim LaShem. It's a mitzvah of Sukkos, the Yom Tov of Sukkos to Hashem. 7 days. Now, the Torah is again saying, the Chodesh HaShvi. So we had the first days of Rosh Hashanah, the 10th days in Kippur. Now the Torah says is the 15th day. That says, what is the thing of Chag HaSukkos? So it says, later on it says, the Pasuk, Ki Basukkos Yishavti is B'nai Yisrael. I put the Jews in Sukkos when I took them out of Egypt. Therefore, to commemorate that, Hashem gave us the mitzvah of Sukkos. So there's a number of issues just before we even go into the concept of Sukkos. What does Sukkos mean? When it says, Ki basukkos hishavti es b'nei Yisrael, I do put the Jews in Sukkos when they went out of Egypt, therefore you have to celebrate the Yom Tov of Sukkos. There's two opinions in the Gemara, what the concept of Sukkos that the Jews had in the desert. One opinion says it was literally, Hashem made them huts, you know, to protect them from the sun, and that was the Sukkos that they had. Because of that, Hashem said, okay, sit in a Sukkot. Another opinion says it corresponds with the clouds of glory, the Anani HaKovid, the Ananim, the clouds that accompanied the Jews in the desert. So those clouds were like the Tzchach of a Sukkot. Okay, so that is the Sukkos that Hashem put the Jews in at the time they left Egypt. So there's two definitions of the concept of Sukkot, either literal huts or actually the clouds of glory. Now, a Sukkot. Now, there's another question that really the Medrash asks. Why do we celebrate Sukkos in Tishrei? We should celebrate Sukkos right after Pesach. What does the pasuk say? Basuke say shavdi as bnei Yisrael, right? I put the Jews in sukkahs when beitzi eisam eretz Mitzrayim, when I took them out of Egypt. When did Hashem take us out of Egypt? In the spring, in Nisan. So if Hashem put us into sukkahs when we left Egypt, so sukkahs should be right after Pesach. Why is it right after Yom Kippur? It's in the wrong month. It should be in Nisan, not in the month of Shvi, of Chodesh Shvi. So there's a number of answers the Medrash says. Number one, the Medrash says that in that time of the year, after Pesach, everybody goes into the huts. It becomes hot in the house. Didn't have central air in those days. Becomes hot in the house. So they go out into the, you know, into huts, the shady areas to cool off. So if the Jews would have a Yom Tov Sukkot after Pesach, nobody would realize it's a Yom Tov. They would think, you know why the Jews are going out? Because this is the season of the huts. Hashem made it after Yom Kippur. That's when the winter is starting. Okay, it's trying to get cool. That's when everybody goes from the sukkahs into the house. They're going back home. The vacation, the bungalow colonies are over. They're going back home. So Hashem says, now I want you to go out into the sukkah to show that you're doing it, not because it's the season, but because Hashem gave you the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. That's why Hashem made it in the month of Tishrei rather than the month of Nisan. As we continue in the psukim, we will discuss spiritually why Sukkot needs to follow Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, not Pesach. But the simple reason the Medrash says is because summertime everybody goes into the huts, it's not noticeable that it's a mitzvah. Winter everybody goes home, so therefore Hashem said to go out. We're going to see a number of psukim and then we're going to discuss this whole concept of Sukkot. Okay, so the Yom Tov of Sukkot is for 7 days. Bayayim Arishim Mikra Kedesh, and the first day is Yom Tov, called Melechas Aveda Loisasu. You cannot do any Melechas Aveda in the English, laborious work, means hard work. But if you notice, there's right away a difference between that and Yom Kippur. By Yom Kippur it says, called Melecha Loisasu, any work. Not even for food, nothing. Here the Torah says, Melechas Aveda Loisasu. You can't do hard work. But things that you need for the Yom Tov, like eating and cooking and all that, that you would be allowed to do. Okay, that's that. So, V'yem Arishim Mekarakej Kom Lech Zavayda Lassas. Shiva Siyam 7 days. Takrivu Isha LaHashem. You have to bring Korbanis to Hashem. It's a Yom Tov for 7 days. 7 days you have to bring a Korban to Hashem. V'yem Ashmini Mekarakej Shia Lochem. On the 8th day, it becomes a Yom Tov. V'yikraftem isha l'Hashem. On that day you should bring an extra carbon to Hashem. This is what we call Shmini Atzeres. Kol melechas aveda leisasu, you shouldn't do any melacha again. Any type of hard labor, meaning the second day of Shmini Atzeres, is like the first day of Sukkot. We're going to stop here for a little bit because now there's a lot to discuss just in this concept. Pesach, is 7 days, and the 7th day is Yom Tov. Sukkot is 7 days, and then you have an 8th day. This is even in Israel, right? The 8th day is Yom Tov. So Sukkot is 1 day longer than Pesach. And there's a lot of halachic differences between the 7th day of Pesach and the Yom Tov of Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres, the Gemara says, is regel bifnei atzmei. It's a separate Yom Tov. Pesach's 7th day is not a new Yom Tov. Even today, there's a practical difference, even in Halacha today, between the 7th day of Pesach and the 8th day of Sukkot. The 7th day of Pesach, when you light Shabbos Yom Tov candles and you make Kiddush, you don't make Shechiyanu. Because it's one continuation of a Yom Tov, so it's not a new Yom Tov. You're not going to make Shechiyanu. Shmini Atzeres, which the Gemara says is regel b'fnei atzmi for 6 dinim. The Gemara says it has a din of a separate Yom Tov. So Shmini Atzeres, you light candles, you make Shechiyanu. You make Kiddush, you make Shechiyanu. It is a completely different Yom Tov. Okay? So you have the concept of Sukkot, and As we know, I'm going to talk about it now, even though some of the psukim are really in the later part of the psukim over here, but we'll talk about it now already. Every Yom Tov is the Samachta Bechagecha. There's a mitzvah in every Yom Tov to be happy. Yet on Pesach you don't say Zman Simchaseinu. On Shavuos you don't say Zman Simchaseinu. On Sukkis, in the davening, in Kiddush, in the Psukim of Chumash, you see that Yom Tov of Sukkis is Zman Simchaseinu. It says, what's the difference between Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkis? So, basically, the Yomim Tevim, just in a physical sense, were basically connected to the agriculture of the Jewish people. Okay? Pesach is when you plant things. Shavuos is Chag HaKotzi, when you harvest. And Sukkis, the Torah calls Chag HaOsif, when you gather the food into your house. Okay? So, when you plant a field, you don't know yet how it's going to grow. Even when you harvest the field, you don't know yet how much is going to be a clean income. You know, you don't know. You're just cutting. You don't. Sukkis, when you bring everything you cut and harvest it into the house, so that's when the real. This is just in the literal, simple sense. The literal, simple sense is why is Sukkis called Zman Simchasin? V'samachta b'chagecha. You know, every Yom Tov is Simcha. But why is Sukkis Zman Simchaseinu more than all the other Yom Tovim? The reason is because simply agriculturally, we bring everything into the house, and therefore the person push it physically. You know, it's the income of the year, so to speak. So they get very happy. In a spiritual sense, the difference between Pesach, he says it here, and then we'll discuss it according to Chassidus, but even deeper than what we just said. In a spiritual sense, it's like this. Pesach is a time for liberation, redemption. Shavuos is we receive the Torah. Okay? What happens on Sukkot in a spiritual sense? It's the Yom Tov of gathering it into your home. Sukkos represents bringing the Torah into our practical day-to-day life. That's what Sukkos is. The gathering into the house. Right? Pesach represents the planting. That's the redemption. We just got out. It's the beginning. We don't know yet what's going to be. Shavuos is the harvest. Shavuos, we got the Torah. Now we know the purpose of creation. But Sukkis is when we actually bring it all into the house, in a spiritual sense, means we bring it down into permeating it and bring it down into our day-to-day living in a way that it is, affects the way we live, which is the ultimate purpose of the redemption. The true simcha can only be when you bring it down into practical. If somebody has a lot of money and they can't touch it, you don't really have simcha. Because he can't use it. Shavuos, Hashem gave us a lot of money, you know, the Torah, spiritual wealth, but you can't really use it until Sukkis. Sukkis is the time when we bring it into the house, and that's when we have the joy, the festival of joy. In a deeper sense, it says in the Medrash, and we'll soon discuss all the aspects of Sukkis, the simcha of really the simcha, great simcha of Sukkis, is the fact that it's right after Yom Kippur. After Hashem forgives us for all our sins, that's when a Jew can really have simcha. Because now we know we're forgiven. That it says in the Medrash, we're soon going to learn about the Lulav and Esrig. The Medrash says, why does it says, the Torah says, Olakachtam lachem b'yem arishin, on the first day of Sukkot, you take, you know, the Lulav and the Esrig. So the Medrash gives an analogy. Two people went into court. Says the old times, the custom was, the one that was the winner, the victor, he would go out with a stick, with a sharvit, it was called, in his hand, a scepter, to show that I won. That was the, how did you know who won the court? It wasn't printed in the newspapers. The one that walked out of the court with the scepter, with the shevet, that was the one that won the war. So it says, what happens on Yom Kippur? Jews are going to court. It's Yom HaDin, day of judgment. The good and the bad, there's a fight going on between. Hashem says when the Jew goes out and sukkis with the lulav that looks like a stick, and the Jew walks out, so then they know that they won the battle. So this is the real simcha of sukkis in a deeper sense, because the fact that it follows Yom Kippur, that's when you can have the real simcha. Taking it even a step further. There's a famous question, which is asked in many, many different places. Believe it or not, not as many places it should be, because it's such an obvious question. And when people hear the question, hey, I come to think of it. But it's such a simple question. There's a minig by Jews that we celebrate Simchas Torah. Okay? Shmini Atzeres in Israel, it's on one day, right? Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres. Why do we celebrate Simchas Torah? We finish the Torah, we start it again. It's a day of celebration, it's a big simcha. The question is, it should be under, it's a wrong date in the calendar. Simchas Torah should be on Shavuos. Think about it. Hashem gave us the Torah on Shavuos, right? So when should be the proper time to start the Torah and finish the Torah? On Shavuos. It would make sense to have Hakafis, to dance with the Torah Simchas Torah, because after all, Hashem gave us the Torah on Shavuos, so Shavuos makes sense. We start the Torah and finish the Torah and do everything. Why do we do it? The end of Sukkot, we do Simchas Torah.
They didn't know yet what they had. It's like your wife. You married after a couple of years and only know.
Yeah, sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad though. But the point of why is Simchas Torah, when it is, it should be on the Yom Tov Shavuos. So explanation is as follows. There is the first luchis that the Jews got, that we got on Shavuos. When do we get the second luchis? On Yom Kippur. Okay? Now, from one side, the first luchis were greater. They're the work of Hashem's hands. Okay? It says in the Chumash, in Kisisa, Hashem made the stone, carved the stone, v'amichtav, michtav alukim hu, chodes al aluchis, it was the writing of God, the whole stone, God made. Okay, what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu came down, Jews were worshipping the golden calf, he broke the luchis. He went back up. What happened on Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur, we received the second luchis. Okay? Second luchis, were not made by God. Hashem said to Moshe, "Psal lecha, shnei luchos avon kadishenim. Make yourself. You have to make it." Hashem said, "Listen, you broke the first ones. Go fix it." So Moshe Rabbeinu made the luchos. So lechayir, if you think about it, the first luchos are much greater than the second luchos. Right? First ones are much greater. God Himself made it. This Moshe Rabbeinu made. Yet the Medrash says that if we would have only gotten the first luchis, I don't remember exactly what the Medrash said, we would only have chumish and a few more things. If Moshe Rabbeinu, but obviously Hashem wanted it to be broken, right? But if it wouldn't have broke, we would have very, very limited Torah. Because Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos, we got the second set, we got everything, Medrash, Gemara, all the things of Torah that we have today. What's the difference between the first luchis and the second luchis? One is the aveid of a tzaddik, and one is the aveid of a bal tshuva. On Shavuos, when Hashem gave us the luchis, the God's luchis, that was the Jews came out of Egypt, newborn nation, they were holy, they were tzaddikim, they prepared themselves for the Torah, they got the Torah, they're on the level of tzaddikim. Yom Kippur's luchis, the second luchis, the Jews were on the level of tshuva, of bal tshuva, because they did tshuva, Hashem said, Salachti kidvarach, I'm going to forgive you. Because Hashem forgave them, we got the second set of luchas. The second luchas was the avaid of the person. The second luchas were the concept of tshuva. Hashem says, the real simcha, you know when you can have simcha steira? Not on the level of tzaddikim. The real simcha you can have when you have the avaida of tshuva, which is what Yom Kippur represents. Once you have the level of tshuva of Yom Kippur, then Hashem says, now you can have the real simcha. Why is there more simcha by the Baal tshuva level, so to speak, than the tzaddik level? So it's a very interesting thing, a very simple thing. We find the same thing, neshama, pre-coming into a body, and after coming into a body. The neshama in Gan Eden is what's called a tzaddik. Knows no evil, no yetzer hara, no bodies, no nothing. Kedusha. What happens when the neshama comes into the body? Neshama comes into the body, now we're dealing with evil already, we have to fight the body, fight the yetzer hara. It's a whole different story. So it says, the purpose of the neshama to come down is to become a Baal Tshuva. And the body is the concept of tshuva. The neshama without a body is a level of a tzaddik. The neshama comes into the body, works over the body, transforms the body, makes the body do what Hashem wants it to do. It becomes a level of Baal Tshuva. Where is the real simcha that Hashem can have? Not from a tzaddik. Nothing personal to them. But only with a Baal Tshuva. Why? That's the same reason why Hashem sends the neshama down into the body. Why doesn't Hashem just keep the neshama in Gan Eden and have a good time? Why did Hashem send the neshama down into the body? He says because when you have the same lifestyle, nothing new, it's boring, and there's no simcha. When does a person have simcha? When something new happens. When there's something new, then when there's what's called a chiddush, it's something new, then it's a big simcha. And Chassidus gives an analogy of this, where we learned this analogy in the past, of what's called tzipra medaberes. In English it's called a parrot, parakeet. Yeah? What's the uniqueness? People spend a lot of money buying a parrot. Yeah? What's the uniqueness of a parrot? It talks. It talks. Yeah? Trust me, people talk much better than a parrot. Probably the parrot talks more logical than the people do, but the form of the speech is better by people than it is by a bird. So, l'cheira, when people talk, you tell them, be quiet. There's a parrot in the room, and people are talking, oh, you have to listen to the bird. The bird is not saying anything better than the people are saying. So what's the answer? People talk, that's normal. That's routine. From routine, you don't get simcha. When a bird talks, that's a chiddush. From a chiddush, people get simcha and people get enjoyment. You ever see, you have a little baby. They take the first step. Oh, the whole world turns over. Emails and pictures and phone calls, the Simchenstattel, the baby took the first step. The baby walked a half an inch and plopped to the ground, and everybody gets excited. You know, if every adult would walk and fall to the ground, you see more and get up already. So what's the big simcha? What's the big simcha that the baby took a little step and falls to the ground? The answer is because it's a chiddush. It's something new. It was never done before. If it's new, then it's a simcha. Hashem says the real Simchas Torah can't be on Shavuos. Because that is a level of tzaddikim. That tzaddikim behave, big deal. Thank you. A tzaddik, they're paid to behave. So when a tzaddik behaves, what's the big deal? When a person sins and they do tshuva, the Rambam says is, the Rambam says that's a chiddush. It's a uniqueness, it's something new, something special, and that's why Hashem likes the Baal Tshuva better than the Tzaddik. Says one of the reasons why Hashem, there's a lot of explanations for this, but one of the reasons why Hashem likes the Baal Tshuva is greater than a Tzaddik, because by a Tzaddik there's no chiddush, there's nothing new. His whole life he's doing what's right. By a Baal Tshuva who changed, and that's a chiddush, so then Hashem has real simcha. By the first luchos, and that's by the way why the neshama comes out into the body. Hashem says, you expect me to get enjoyment from a neshama in Gan Eden? That a neshama in Gan Eden is learning Torah, right? Hashem said, what do you think, to be happy about that? I mean, what else is new? Of course he's going to be learning Torah. Well, he has nothing else to do. They're bored in Gan Eden, so they learn. There's no emails, there's no internet, there's no stores, there's no shopping, there's no, you know, you have nothing to do, you sit and learn. But down here that a person learns and does mitzvahs, Hashem said, that's a big chiddush, and that's why I'm sending the neshama to come down into the world, because Hashem said, that causes me entertainment, that causes me simcha, because that's a concept of something new. Hashem says, simchas Torah, I don't want on shavuos. You tell me you got the first luchas on shavuos, it was a gift from above, everybody's a level of tzaddikim, it's wonderful, we're not knocking tzaddikim. But we're talking, Hashem says, it's not the ultimate simcha. Hashem says, break the luchas, become bali tshuva, so to speak, and then you can really celebrate simchas Torah after the Avodah of Yom Kippur. Then Chassidus asks, so simchas Torah should be on the first day of Sukkot then? The whole explanation in Chassidus is that it has to go through the 7 days of Sukkot. Because it's a whole process. There's Rosh Hashanah, and then there's Yom Kippur, and then there's Sukkot, and then you can ultimately come to the concept of Simchas Torah. That's why Simchas Torah, not the first days of Sukkot, is the last days of Sukkot.
What does Sukkot add?
Huh? Well, we didn't finish, we didn't learn about Sukkot yet. When we finish learning about Sukkot, hopefully your question will be answered. But I'm just saying that the beginning of, when Torah says the first day, the eighth day, is, you know, the first day is Yom Tov. The eighth day is Yom Tov, is completely different than Pesach. Pesach is 7 days. 7 days represents nature. That's the Avodah of Tzaddikim. Tzaddikim naturally are good. Therefore Pesach is only 7 days. Sukkot that has to do with Tshuva is 8 days. Eight is supernatural. The level above nature, that's the concept of Tshuva, breaking your nature to reach a higher level. Therefore, it's like, therefore, Sukkot, and, you know, when you have these general concepts, everything now about the Yom Tov makes sense. For instance, everybody knows that on Sukkot they brought the 70 bulls, the Shivim Parim, corresponding with the 70 nations, right? That every day, you know, it starts at 16, 15, 14, it goes down, like the 70 nations of the world. Abiyem HaShmini, Atzer HaShmini, Atzer is Pad Echad, Ayel Echad, one bull corresponding with the Jews, as we'll learn. Because the whole concept of tshuva, the whole concept of the second luchis, is to elevate the world. So what are we doing on Sukkot with the 70 bulls? We're elevating the 70 nations. That Pesach, that's not the Avodah. Pesach is a revelation from above, tzaddikim. Tshuva, which is a chiddush, elevating the world. So on Sukkot, you correspond with the 70 nations, because you actually, through the Avodah of Sukkot, you're elevating the 70 nations.
We have here 9 days of Sukkot?
Yeah.
What is
it? Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah.
7, 8, and 9.
We have 9 and 8.
That's good, so you must be an accountant. 7, 8, 9, yeah.
Israel, they have 8 and here they have 9.
Right.
And this is much higher than 8.
Yeah, is that
right.
Even higher? What's
there's a mile in the 9th over the 8th.
What is that?
Do we get there yet? What? If I teach everything now, what are we going to teach next week? What?
Could say Sukkot being Tishrei. Why it says 7 months?
There's no name of Tishrei in the. Show me the name.
No. It could have said,
seven,
you know,
the first.
First, you know, first month.
It's not. It's in the seventh month.
Yeah,
There is no names of the months in Torah. Nowhere. The Torah always goes by numbers. B'chedesh Harishim, B'chedesh Hasheni, B'chedesh Hashlishi, B'chedesh Ha'asiri. Nowhere. The names of the Jewish months, believe it or not, the Gemara says, Olu Itam Mi Bavel. When the Jews went up from Bavel to go to build the second base of Mikdash, that's when the Jewish names began. But in Chumash, there is no names of months.
Except Nisan.
No. It doesn't. It says B'chedesh Harishim. B'chedesh Harishim. Even when it says Chedesh Aviv, it doesn't mean the month is called Aviv. It's the month in the spring. But nowhere in Torah is there any mention of any months.
So how did they identify with the holiday?
They knew there was the first month, second month. Yeah. How do you write a check? 1209, 252.
No, but I'm saying, what did they call it before they had a name?
First month, second month, third month?
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, first kid, second kid, third kid, fourth kid.
It's the same like a name of days.
But in Torah, there is no mention of names. In biblical Torah. In Torah Shebapeh, I mean, every month has a holiness, you know, to its name, sure. I mean, but there's no way in Chumash. Torah calls B'chedesh HaShvi.
Sabbath.
Well, even when we daven, we say Yom Rishon b'Shabbos, Yom Sheni b'Shabbos, Shlishi b'Shabbos.
Not the Jews, I'm talking about the non-Jews. That's what they were doing.
Yeah, but I'm saying, and in Torah, everything is numbered rather than names. There's no, even today, in Hebrew, how do you say Sunday? You don't say Shemesh Yom, Monday Levana Yom. No, Sunday is because of the sun. Monday is because of the moon, right? Hello? Anybody went to school? Okay, right? But in Torah, you don't call it Shemesh Yom, Levana Yom. Tuesday would be Shnei Yom. I don't know. Wednesday, Chasana Yom. I don't know what they would call it. Because in Torah, it's all numbers. The months, the days. So no, the Torah doesn't say it, can't say it anywhere. Okay, so therefore, Bayam HaShmini, by the way, more about Shmini Atzeres we will see later when the Torah, in fact, the Torah here doesn't. It's in, later on in Chumash, the Torah discusses about Shmini Atzeres. Here the Torah just says that the first day is Yom Tov, the eighth day is Yom Tov, and then a few psukim again, the Torah is going to say the first day is Yom Tov and the eighth day is Yom Tov. Okay, Ela Meredei Hashem, these are, Rashi says it here, so let's discuss it now. In Pasuk Lamed Vov, it says like this, 7 days Yom Tov, the eighth day is Yom Tov, Atzeres, it's Atzeres, okay? Now, what does that Atzeres mean? Literally means it means a gathering. Okay? So the Sipurna says it means to gather all the things of Sukkis, to gather it, meaning to internalize it. Okay? That's what it simply means. Rashi brings down from the Medrash, what does it mean, Atzeres? He gives a mashal. Rashi says, there's a mashal of a king that made a party for all his friends. The whole nation, he threw a big party. The party for 7 days. Party was over. The king turns to his close friend and says, you know what? That party was for everybody. Now me and you are going to party. Okay? And it says like this. Rashi quotes, K'melech Shezimin is, I'm reading this Rashi. K'melech Shezimin is born of L'su'udim. A king gathered his children for a meal, kach v'kach yomim. When the time came to go home, so the king says to them, Amar, Bini, Bebakashim ikem ikfu imi ejem echod, stay with me one more day. Why? Kasha olai pridaschem. It's very difficult to have our separation. Now the king says, let's stay one more day. Okay? So that's the concept of Shmini Atzeres. 7 days, God is parting with the world, the 70 nations. You know, the 70 bulls, 70 nations. Comes Shmini Atzeres, Hashem says to the Jews, okay, now, me and you. Kosher life pridaschem. It's difficult to have a separation. Now, stay one more day with me, and you're going to go home anyway. There's a lot of questions on this concept, by the way. First of all, what's one more day going to do already? They're leaving anyway, so one more day is really going to matter. The king begs his son, you're leaving, do me a favor, stay one more day. And when the day's over, your kid's going to leave. So what's it if you leave a day early or a day later? It's really going to matter so much. That because of that we get a special Yom Tif of Shmini Atzeres. I mean, we're leaving anyway, so big deal. So day earlier, day later, who cares? The main question is, if you look in Rashi, Rashi says the expression, Kosha alai pridas chem. Your separation is difficult for me. It should have said, Kosha alai pridas seinu. Our separation is tough. Why does it say your separation is tough? Hashem says, you're leaving me, right? Our leaving, we're leaving from each other, right? So that should be what's difficult. Why does it say your leaving is difficult? So the Mefarshim, this is in Chassidus, but not in Chassidus, Muslims from everybody, they have a field day with this concept. And they say it like this, Hashem and a Jew never separates. Kosher lai pridaschem means when you guys fight between yourselves, when there's preda, when there's separation between you and another Jew, Hashem says, that's kosher alai, that's very difficult for me. Because Hashem and a Jew never separate. Kosher alai pridaschenu would mean, Hashem says, you're leaving me, it's very difficult. That doesn't happen. Hashem says, you know what's difficult? When you get into a fight with another Jew, pridas chem, when Jews fight between themselves, Hashem says, I can't take that. So now we can understand what Shmini Atzeres does. What is the concept of Shmini Atzeres? Par echod, ayel echod. One Jew and one God. Until now, there's 70, it's separation. God says, you know what the Yom Tov of Shmini Atzeres represents? There's one God and there's one Jew. All Jews are one. If all Jews are one, there is no separation. Separation is only when you're lacking the unity. When you have Achdus, when you have one, there's no separation. And this is connected also, by the way, why Shmini Atzeres is on the eighth day. Because separation is only in the nature. Your nature is different than my nature. Right? You do this, I do this. That's where the separation comes. In a level higher than world, where the essence exists, eight, the supernatural, higher than nature, over there there's no separation. So what does Shmini Atzeres accomplish? It's not that you're leaving anywhere, okay, stay one more day. That's not what it's all about, because that wouldn't do anything. What it is that there is no separation. Shmini Atzeres causes such unity amongst the Jews that there is no separation.
Amongst the Jews people?
Amongst the Jews themselves.
Pesach?
I know it doesn't sound too realistic. There's no concept of unity in Pesach. In Sukkot, every aspect of Sukkot is unity.
The
Arba Minim, as we'll soon learn, is unity. The Sukkot itself is unity. The Sukkot itself is unity. We're soon going to learn, we're jumping the gun a little bit. It says, Ulekachtem lachem b'yem arishin. Right? You have to take for yourself a lulav and esrog, right? You can't borrow it. You can't steal it. It has to be yours. Right? Sukkot can you borrow somebody's sukkah? If somebody gives you permission, can you go into the sukkah and eat?
Yeah.
Does it have to be your sukkah?
No.
Why by lulav does it have to be yours and sukkah doesn't even have to be yours? Because if you look in the psukim, the truth is, it says, okay, so the Gemara learns it out from this pasuk. In pasuk Membeis, much later on, Kol Ezer bi Yisrael Yeshu Basukas, all the citizens will sit in the sukkah. The Gemara says, Ru'uyin kol Yisrael Yeshu Basukas Achas. That pasuk teaches us that all Jews can sit in the same sukkah, which means the sukkah doesn't have to be yours. Okay? If it's mine and not yours, that's separation. Right? If it's mine and not yours, that's a separation. If all Jews can sit in the same sukkah, there's no separation. Not only that, besides mikveh, the only mitzvah that you walk into is a sukkah. And even this is more than mikveh. Mikveh is only a mitzvah. If you're impure, you need a mikveh. If you're not impure, there's no mitzvah in the mikveh. Right? If you're not impure, there's no mitzvah to go to the mikveh. By sukkahs, there's a mitzvah you have to go into the sukkah. Right? It's the only mitzvah you walk into. The sukkah covers you from head to toe. No other mitzvah does that. Right? You can do it your hand, tefillin, you light Shabbos candles, you walk, you talk. It's a particular part of your body. Which mitzvah do you walk into completely that you must do is the mitzvah of sukkah. That causes the ultimate unity of the Jewish people. Everybody's equal. Head, when you walk into a sukkah, there's no difference between your head and your foot. Right? Which symbolizes there's no difference between the head Jew and the foot Jew. Everybody's the same. Right? Then you have the four minim. Also achtos. Right? This is this type of Jew, that type of Jew, the good Jew, the right? As everybody knows. But you know something? As much as lulav and esrog is achtos, unity, but it's still four distinct things. Right? You're uniting lulav, esrog, adasim, and aravis. But you know what? You can't blend the lulav and the esrog into one. It doesn't work. It has to be four distinct minim, four distinct types, becoming one. Sukkot is a higher level of unity. Sukkot is it's all one. Right? There's nothing else but that. What?
So, I thought Sukkot represents seven, so there should be separation. And Shemini Atzeret is the one that should be
unity. So even Sukkot is a level of unity within the seven. Shemini Atzeret is even a higher level of unity. Let's get a little, if this wasn't philosophical enough, let's get a little bit philosophical. What is greater bittul, greater nullification? Okay? If I tell you to do something, and you really don't want to do it, but you do it. It happens. Yeah? If your parents say to do something, you don't want to do it, you do it anyway. Your boss tells you to do something. You don't want to do it, you do it anyway. Right? Or a guy who is so bottled, so nullified to the boss, that if the boss wants it, he wants it. Which is greater? Which one's greater? Anybody else? Huh? Which one's greater?
Depends on the perspective you take. Either one could be greater at any given
time. Whatever the boss is. Whatever the boss is.
Yeah. You don't even have your own desires.
Who has more bittul? I know which one's second.
The one who diminishes there, so the one who didn't have one at all.
The one who didn't have one at all.
It's harder to diminish yourself deliberately to do what you don't want to do, to go against your nature.
Who is greater? Somebody who wants to learn and learns, or somebody who hates to learn and learns?
Hates.
But that's not what you just said.
It depends.
Don't answer like a Jew. It depends. It depends. Or another correct Jewish opinion, a question. You know, another Jewish correct answer? When people ask you a question and you say there's two opinions, you're always right.
There you go.
It depends. Two opinions. Which one is greater? Or to use Tanya language, who is greater, a tzaddik or a beinoni? A beinoni is higher than a tzaddik?
A tzaddik
has no yetzer hara. A tzaddik doesn't want to do evil. A beinoni wants to do evil.
But Rabbi, it's just
the place of someone who's... contrary to what you just said. But the truth is, both are right. Level-wise... Who is a higher level?
Tzaddik.
The tzaddik is a higher level. The person who doesn't want to sin. The person who is what the master wants is what he wants. That's a higher level.
But he's born that way.
Which is more demanding work. Avaida wise, which one's harder? Not in all aspects, by the way. Because the tzaddik has their issues between good and better. And that's their good and bad. Okay, that's a whole different story. But a person has to break himself. Is not on that level because he has evil to contend with and to fight with and to deal with, but when he breaks it, that's a higher level than the tzaddik who doesn't break. Okay? There's a unity of seven, and there's a unity of eight. Okay? What's greater? To say Hashem Echad or Hashem Yochid? Echad means one. Correct? Mm-hmm. What does one mean? When you say one, you say this is one cup. Right? That means there are other cups. If there's only one cup, you can't say there's one cup. It's the only cup. Correct? Only means there's nothing else. Right? One means, as it says in Chumash, there was Yom Echad. Vayera yiboku yom echad, yom sheni, yom shlishi, yom revi. If we would say vayera yiboku yom yachid, there couldn't be any other days of creation. Correct? Yachid means you're the only thing that exists. Echad means that there are others. Right? So why do we say Hashem echad? Why don't we say Hashem yachid?
Wait a minute, it's a different way to look at one, and that is to become one with the only.
But yachid is even better. Yachid means the only one. One and only. Echad means there's one. So why don't we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Yachid? So, in Chassidus it explains, and to do it in 1 minute, when you need about 5 hours, but in 1 minute's nutshell of 5 hours, to give a Gashmistic analogy, okay, if there's one store in a neighborhood, and the store is doing well. Does that show that it's a good store? No, there's nobody else. When do you see a store is really good? When there's competition, and it's still number one. Hashem Yochid would mean, there's nothing but God. Okay? How would God be if there's competition? If there'd be a world, things that don't believe in God, right? As we read last week, Elokim Acherim, you know, others make him gods. How would God be in that? I don't know. Echad means there is a world. There are seven heavens, there's an earth. There's four corners of the world. And still, it's Aleph, the one Hashem, he's still in control. There's an advantage in each one. Yachid means only God exists. There's no world. Which is a very great level. Only God exists, nothing else. Echad is much lower. There's the world. But in a certain respect, Echad is greater than Yachid. Because Echad means there is competition and he's still number one. Or rather that everything is subjugated and nullified to Hashem. That you don't have from Yachid. Okay.